So, Ron, let me get this right. Let me get it straight. You're saying that God is more powerful than the Lone Ranger? Is that what you're saying? Wow. Dude. How many of you grew up watching the Lone Ranger? You young punks out there. You hadn't lived till you seen High Hole Silver. Memories. Okay, sorry. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll pick it up in verse 18, but I want to set the stage that Matthew is telling us. He begins the first 17 verses there. He begins by going through the genealogy of Christ. And while to us we kind of read that and it's like blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just kind of words and names that we don't know how to pronounce. But there was significance to this, extreme significance to the Jewish people. And see, the prophets had foretold that Christ would come through the line of David. And so it's very important that they recite this genealogy that sets us up for verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, I want you to stand there for just a second and look at that. It just said that they were pledged to be married, and then it says that Joseph planned to divorce her quietly. How do you divorce someone that you're not yet married to? Well, see, I mentioned this last week, that in the Jewish culture, when you were betrothed to someone, you had this year-long betrothal, and you were considered married, and had all of the vows and so forth that came along with marriage. You just did not live together, and you were not intimate with one another for a year. Picking up in verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Well, who did we say that Jesus would come through the line of who? David. Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin, he's fixing to quote from Isaiah, which was written some 700-800 years before the birth of Christ. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. We're going to skip over the first 11 verses of chapter 2. That's talking about the Magi and how they follow the star and they go to see Herod and they bring gifts and so forth. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, the Magi returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He's the second dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the prophet again, the prophetic word, what the prophet had said through the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. skipping down to verse 19. By the way, 16 through 18, Herod is ordering all the two-year-old boys and under to be killed, trying to wipe out Jesus. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, dream number three, get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream number four, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, another prophetic fulfillment, he will be called a Nazarene. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak with power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Showed the clip last week from the nativity story where Mary, and again, these are fictionalized accounts trying to recreate the scripture, so don't take this as like we're really watching, you know, the real Mary and Joseph, but it's how this film director would depict that scene. Now, this week, we will look at Joseph's conversation with Mary.
Joseph.
Do you know? Do you know the reason I chose you, Mary? I believed you were a woman of great virtue. I have lived my life seeking honor. Honor. Mary, so how am I to answer this? If I claim this child is mine, I will be lying. I will have broken a law laid down by God.
I would never ask you.
If I say this child is not mine, they will ask what I want to do. And if I accuse you,
there is a will for this child greater than my fear of what they may do.
As I said last week, Mary and Joseph were planning this wedding. And many of you who've recently done that, either for yourself or for a child, realizes the details that go into that and the excitement and how you're the anticipation of the day and how it's all going to go, and there's just this excitement that's building. And that was the phase of this betrothal that was what was going on with Mary and Joseph. And all of a sudden, these angels show up and start spoiling the party. They start changing the script and rocking their world, to use a term. Was that cool, youth? Was that cool? Rock, or is that old school? Old school, okay. Well, I'll stay about 10 years behind, but anyway. We're gonna continue the series I started last week. This week, Heaven Sent, Joseph's First Christmas. Now, you know, we don't realize we to us Christmas is something that comes every year. We've been celebrating it all of our lives, and we don't realize that for Mary and Joseph, They didn't have the scripture to read how this all went down. They didn't have now the understanding that Christ had to come, and then he had to come through the Mary and had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the prophecy, and truly had to be God made man and God with us, as the scripture said, Emmanuel. They didn't have all of this backdrop. All they had was, we're planning a wedding, and these angels angels show up and they start messing everything up. Joseph's first Christmas. What can we learn? What can we learn from Joseph and how he responded to this word from the angel? The first thing from Joseph, we learn that obedience to God takes courage. As I talk through how Joseph responded and what we can learn from Joseph, I want you to personalize this. Obedience to God took courage for Joseph, but more importantly, obedience to God takes courage for you and I. It's amazing to me. I meant to do a scan on this to see how many times, but I know throughout Scripture, when God shows up or when angels show up to pronounce things for God, many times it's followed by this sense of fear and awe, and the first response is, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. When the angels showed up for Mary, Mary's kind of blown away by that, and the angel says, don't be afraid. You know, I'm here to bring you good news. With Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife. Can you imagine, just think of what's going through Joseph's mind, that as he hears, as Mary shows up and she says, I'm pregnant, and oh, by the way, it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? What would you do if you were old Joseph? I mean, seriously, think about it. Now, it's interesting that Joseph, but even before the angel comes and speaks to Joseph in the dream and begins to explain to him what's going on and it's okay, Joseph's first response was to divorce Mary quietly. To divorce Mary quietly. We're going to develop that a little bit more here in just a minute, but I want us to hear that what his response could have been. He could have thrown Mary into the public square and began to shame her and call her adulterer and possibly even had her stoned. That was the Jewish law at the time. Now, they were under Roman rule where they were, but very easily could have pulled her out behind an alley somewhere and stoned her to death. That was the Jewish law. And even if they didn't stone her to death, he could have drug her out, shamed her in front of the community, and in other words, take all the pressure off of himself. Look what this woman has done. Takes courage to be obedient. What are people going to think? Do you think that thought went through Joseph's mind? What's everybody going to think? For not just for Joseph, but for Mary as well. What's everybody going to think? Do we rule our lives with that question? Well, God, I'd like to be obedient to this, but what's everybody going to think? I'd like to tell that person about Christ and how Christ has changed my life, but what's everybody going to think? I'd like to invite them to church, but what's everybody going to think? Does that question rule us? It must be something that men and women have been struggling with since biblical times, because listen to the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Galatia. He says this, am I not now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Sounds like Paul is saying, please men, please Christ. Please men, please Christ. Probably in most cases, at least in many cases, we can't do both, can we? You know, if you've been in our church for a long time, I know you've heard my story, my call in ministry, but for those of you who haven't, just quickly, I was in the computer world for 20 years, and Cheryl and I felt a really strong call in our lives to go into the ministry it's been about 10, 11 years ago, and I'm telling you, people, I quit my computer job, this job that I'd spent 20 years trying to gain experience and knowledge and position and salary and benefits and all those things that we strive for, and I just walked away. And it wasn't haphazard. It was over a couple of years of real agony and prayer, and Cheryl and I just knew that that's what we were supposed to do. And I've told you before that you guys are the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. And when we did that, I can't even tell you how many people questioned us. Many that I probably will never know about questioned us, but so many that weren't afraid to tell me. I remember that I got a phone call from a girl that we knew and well-meaning, I believe, but the phone call, and she told me, she said, Jeff, I was trying to explain, she was questioning what I was doing. Have you lost your mind? And is what she was asking me, basically. And I said, you know, we feel God really strongly calling us to do this, and this is, you know, we know this is the right thing. And she said, Jeff, you're making me stumble. As you can tell, that was 10, 12 years ago, and it pierced my heart. Because my intent was to seek to be obedient to Christ, and here I had a fellow sister in Christ saying, you're making me stumble. Your actions are making me stumble. Do you think Joseph had anyone saying that? You're going to still marry her? What? You're going to still marry her? Yeah, right. Like that's babies really conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do you think anybody said that to Joseph? Obedience takes courage. Are we now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Second thing we can learn from Joseph is that character trumps reputation. Hello. Am I meddling yet? Character trumps reputation. And that's why I believe with all my heart, that's why I believe God chose Mary and Joseph, because they were men and women of character. They were, it says in verse 19, it says that Joseph was a righteous man. He was a man that was sought to be obedient. And you know his first thought had to be that his fiancée, his chosen one, the one that he had was pledged to be married to, had violated his trust, had been unfaithful to him. But even then, he was still willing to divorce her quietly because he was a righteous man. He didn't want to disgrace her, even if she had disgraced him. Character trumps reputation. By divorcing Mary, if he had divorced her quietly as he had intended, he would have taken a lot of the brunt upon himself. All sorts of things people would have been saying, well, I bet Joseph's, they just had premarital relations, and Joseph's probably the dad, and now he's divorcing her quietly. So there had been still some feedback, some negativity coming at Joseph. But had he drug her out into the public square and pointed and said, adulterer, it would all been heaped upon Mary. And Joseph could have walked away with his head held high. Character trumps reputation. Joseph, I believe, was willing to sacrifice his reputation for obedience to God. There's an old saying that I actually just had not heard this, and I just ran across it. Your reputation is who people think you are, but your character is who you are. It's pretty wise. Third thing we can learn from Joseph, obedience has eternal implications. Well, obedience has eternal implications. The consequences, the implications of obedience or disobedience are not always immediately visible. Do you realize, I really don't think that we do many times, do we realize that we have the capacity as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the capacity to impact people for all eternity? Do we know that? I mean, if Christ has come and changed us, if we are truly a new creation, and we share that, and what do I say when I end the sermon typically? Anybody know? Go tell somebody. That should be, I want that to be ingrained into us. The grace that God has shown and He has transformed us, we must share. We must share it. Obedience has eternal implications, and so does disobedience. I want you to think for a minute, what if Mary and Joseph had been disobedient? I mean, God would have found a way. God would have found another willing servant. I'm sure of it, because that was God's plan. But the first thing I think of is, we wouldn't be talking about Mary and Joseph today with in esteem. We're talking about Mary and Joseph today 2,000 years later because they were obedient. And what a blessing to be chosen as the man and woman who will raise God Himself. I mean, I know that's heavy, isn't it? I mean, that's for us to think that they could have missed out on that blessing by just being disobedient. And I say this, in today's world, do you know abortion would have been an option for them? If God had chosen this day and time to come and to bring Jesus and to choose a woman to bear His child, abortion was definitely an option. Obedience and disobedience have consequences, eternal implications. How many of you know the name Edward Kimball? Not one of you. That's what I was anticipating. Let me tell you about Edward Kimball. In 1855, he was a Sunday school teacher. A simple Sunday school teacher. How many of us, when we think of Sunday school, we think something big? I'd have to study every week. Tommy, Jody, Orville, all our Sunday school teachers. It's like, oh, man, I ain't got time. Edward Kimball, simple Sunday school teacher. Well, he had a young boy, a teenage boy in his group named Dwight L. Moody, and this young kid was just lost. And Edward Kimball saw what Dwight Moody could be. He saw who Christ had intended him to be, and he led him to the Lord. Moody then helped lead another man in 1870 named Wilbur Chapman to an understanding of his salvation in the Lord. And Chapman led a young man named Billy Sunday to the Lord. And then in 1924, Sunday was instrumental in the conversion of a man named Mordecai Hammer. Is anybody starting to kind of their ears? I see some ears perking up. Maybe some names starting to sound familiar. Mordecai Ham in 1924. In 1934, Mordecai Ham was an evangelist, and a young 16-year-old boy named Billy Graham was saved at one of his crusades. We're like rocks that God throws in the pond and the ripples. A simple Sunday school teacher, perhaps many Sundays he had that, didn't I just plan a lesson last week? A simple Sunday school teacher changes this man's life, leads this person to the Lord, leads this person to the Lord, ultimately Billy Graham. Anybody ever heard of Billy Graham? He, by the way, he's in the hospital with pneumonia right now. 90 years old. What a man of God. How many hundreds of thousands of men and women have a relationship with Jesus Christ today because Billy Graham told them about him? And so when we think of Billy Graham, we think, I can't do that. But can you be a Sunday school teacher? In just a little while, and I want to, Jordan and Jared work with our youth. In just a little while, at the end of our service, we're gonna baptize one of our youth. Woohoo! You should be excited. That's awesome. And I know that sometimes the youth, and no offense, youth, but I'd rather have my head stitched to the carpet than be a youth pastor. Okay. I mean, I love you. I just don't want to work with you every week. I like seeing you in the hallway when we're passing and high five. That's what I like to do. We're not all called to be youth pastors. We're not all called to be Sunday school teachers, but we're all called to be obedient. We're all called to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. If he's changed your life, it is irresponsible, and I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say sinful to not speak his name. To not speak his name. Has he changed your life? Are you like that rock thrown in the pond? We have no idea of the ripple effect that we personally may have for all of eternity. You have no idea how God wants to use you. Obedience to God takes courage. Character trumps reputation. And obedience has eternal consequences. We come this morning. I think back to that week leading up to Christ's crucifixion. And I mentioned this last week, that what if Christ was not obedient? I mean, he knew what laid ahead for him. He knew the cross was his destiny. And before he went into, he didn't go kick it. They didn't come track him down and find him. He was in public. He knew what was coming. He, on his way to Jerusalem, he told the disciples, here's what awaits me. And there was this obedience that Christ had. And you know why he had that obedience? For you and I. We were on his mind. It says that but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. God's word tells us that. The joy set before him was you and I, our salvation, our eternal life. And I'm so glad that he was obedient. He was obedient even though he knew that it would lead to a broken body. As I tear that bread, I want you to just imagine that's a willing savior allowing his body to be broken for us. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. No longer do you need to bring the lambs to be sacrificed to pay our debts. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is His blood shed for you and I. I want you to take just a moment. You come to this table. Perfect people don't come to this table. Broken people, through the love of Christ, come to this table. That's what this table is for. And so I invite you now to confess your brokenness before a holy God. Confess your sins before Him. Just do that silently for just a moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. This table, this invitation to this table, the table has been prepared by Christ Himself through His broken body and His shed blood. He invites us to this table. And the invitation is, if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of this church, this denomination. It's an open table to believers in Jesus Christ. We come here as a broken and forgiven people. If our praise team and those serving and the sound team would come. The invitation has been given. Each we have four serving stations where you will be given a piece of bread and you can dip it into the juice and partake. That method is known as intinction. We have a center section that where you have the individual bread and the individual cups. If you will want to be that way, you can come to the center. If you would like to use the altar to pray or to just return to your seat, as again, you do not have to be a member of our church. Love Jesus and repent of your sin. You are welcome. The invitation is made. Come.
Jesus is your blood.
Charlotte, oh ye behind the curtain. Dad, go ahead and be making your way up. Her dad, Michael, our mom is here as well. Huh? Yeah, she can come up. Michael wants to say something. Just stand, talk in that mic where people can hear you, Michael.
Okay. My name is Michael Stump. This is my wife, Michelle, and five of these little kids out here are ours. We are proud parents of six children. And, Charlotte tells me on a weekly basis, you know, at least a couple times a week, she goes, Dad, you're not scared of anything. You do this. You know, I'm a tree trimmer. I've painted water towers and scaled rock walls. But, you know, right now I'm a little bit intimidated about being up here. But, you know, when I pulled up today to church, I went with my whole family. I normally will pull into the parking lot and we get out and we walk together. But for some reason, I let all my family out and right in the front of the door, and I went and parked. And I never do that. I never do it. And but on the way back, you know, the Lord told me, He says, when I walked into the door, He said, I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. And that's really, really hard for me. And I don't know how unusual this is for a parent to come up and speak about their child. But just really quick, you know, the what I wanted to say, and this is basically to her, but had it not been for this young lady right here, because 8 years ago when she was a little bitty girl, I knew nothing about Jesus. My family knew nothing about Jesus. And a van pulled up and she says, Dad, we want to go. I want to go to church. I want to get on this bus and I want to go to church. And, you know, I just, you know, it started with her going to church. And then one more of my children went. And then another one of my children went. And then a few years later, my wife went, and I'm still the stubborn one. But it took
it took her, you know, to this. This is what got all of this started and kind of the ripple effect. You know, it was almost amazing when you said that. But we just want you to know, just live this.
It's okay, brother.
Just really how extremely proud we are of you. Now, I know this is your moment, and I want this to be your moment, but it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's so, so much more than that to me.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know what else to say. So we love you.
Y'all stay up here with us. Just stay right here to the side. Huh? Do you want to say something? Oh, okay.
All right, Sharla. As I talked about that ripple effect, are you cold? As I talked about that ripple effect, you've already made that in your family. And many times in Scripture, we've seen when one person of the family accepts Christ, it spreads to the whole family. And so I'm proud of you as well. And I want to just ask you this morning, if you come officially to ask Jesus into your heart, I want to ask you, do you confess that you're a sinner before God? And do you repent of that sin? And you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior into your heart? And you want to be baptized in that faith? Amen. We're going to do it. You hold your nose. Charlotte, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll stand. We're also, this will be our dismissal. Okay, Holy Spirit, you promised to come into those who have confessed Jesus as Lord. And so we pray that you'd come, that you'd fill this young lady, that she would be a mighty instrument. She's already been a mighty instrument. I pray, God, that you'd multiply that and magnify that. And those ripples would grow and they would become giant waves from this whole family. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this girl, fill this family in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for this day that we've spent in worship. And we pray blessings on those that have been and those that will go. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, amen.